The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Michael Sheridan's with us for The Last Word on Wheels. And what we want to talk to you about tonight is an idea. A friend of mine were talking about it recently, and he was looking at the possibility of, should he have a car at all? Because he doesn't use it Monday to Friday. He has it parked and he only uses it occasionally at weekends. Is it financially necessarily worth your while to actually own a car? Is it possible to ditch it?
I think a lot of people should be doing an audit of their motoring. I mean, we're all becoming more aware of the footprint we leave and then the actual horrors of being stuck in commutes and everything else. I think people in city centres, people living near their place of work and so on, there really is no need to have a car at all, because there's fantastic rental firms. There's a wide variety of car rental firms. There's car sharing schemes if you live in the big cities, and also in some of the rural areas. You can even car share vans as well if you need to go and do a big IKEA or DIY project, or go
which
to the recycling centre.
Which you might not even be able to do in your own car.
Which you might be able to do at all. And also there's a huge cost. I mean, I was just looking at some of the figures, and there's none right up to the minute, but we're talking the guts of 15 grand a year in terms of loans, insurance, maintenance, having the car, you know, a modern car and running it. And it's a lot of money. Now,
sorry, that's the point I was making to him, because I was saying, well, look, you could hire a car for a weekend if you needed
absolutely.
To go down the country. And he goes, oh, that would cost me hundreds. And I was saying, well, hang on.
Have you're you
worked out
thousands.
What the cost is of actually having the car outside the door that you hardly ever use? Because it's not just the financing of it, it's your insurance, all the other costs.
And Matt, if it's a reasonably good car, one tyre is going to be 250 quid. You'd hire a top-of-the-range Mercedes for a weekend for that, you know, with a bit of planning. And that's where being clever with your transport or looking and doing an audit of what you actually need to get around the place is a thing to do. And if you have the luxury of doing it, brilliant. If you're in the commuter belts or anywhere else, forget about it.
Even forget about it then. Maybe if you're a two-car family, could you work out a way to be a one-car family rather than a two-car family?
It's funny.
Because funny, that's what we do in our house. It's one car, because my view is if Aileen is off with the car, then I'll take taxis. And the cost of not of having as many taxis as I might have, which is few enough in the week, certainly wouldn't equate to the cost of running a second car in the house.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And recently good friends asked me, what should they do? They had two cars, or were running two old cars, and they were gas guzzlers. And I said, well, why don't you get something reasonably fresh with an engine, and why don't you maybe pick up a second-hand EV that you could use for all your short hops, because most of your commuting is around the city, and you'd be able to do that for virtually free by plugging in at home, and the range wouldn't matter. And then when you did need a big car, you could go off and you wouldn't have to spend a huge amount of money on that, and you'd both still feel very mobile and very independent, and you'd be covering yourself, because for the next number of years the internal combustion engine is still going to be produced, it's still going to be made. The head of Audi Ireland yesterday was telling me that Audi is going to be building internal combustion engines up until 2040. So they're still very much a part of how our cars are going to move around the place. There's going to be more hybrids, more electrification. But if you can make your running costs as minimal as possible, then it's happy days. But if you live, if you've the luxury, and again, this is terrible, sorry to everybody in the country, but if you live, say, in Dublin between the canals, you should not have an X5. You should not have a big diesel car. You should not have a large SUV. You do not need it, because you're served by great public transport, and you've got the Lewis, you've got all of these sorts of things, and you can walk everywhere, which is fantastic. And taxis aren't that dear. The trouble is forcing that attitude on people who have to get kids around the place, who have to commute and so on.
Well, see, this is where the chicken and egg situation comes in, because some of the things we've spoken about on tonight's programme, we started with the idea which is floated by Dublin City Council's management, and which the Transport Committee seems to be interested in doubling the price of car parking, on-street car parking in Dublin City Centre to as much as €7. Now, it's not happening immediately, but they want to phase it
proof
in over the next 5 years.
Satan is running that place.
That's a bit extreme.
I'm joking, but €7
they're talking about. That was
criminal.
One thing. The second thing we talked about at length, and we put this up as a podcast from after 5 o'clock, is the new urban sprawl, or the return to urban sprawl. And the issues for people who are commuting long distances is they don't have public transport. So we're coming up with all of these reasons that are going to get stuck in gridlock in the M50 and beyond the M50. 1.5 hours, 2 hours. We have people talking about 3 hour commutes to work each way, each day. But there's no alternative to having a car because the public transport simply doesn't exist for them.
Absolutely. When you think about it, there we are expanding the N7. Why didn't we just take the middle median of it and run a Lewis track along the length of it? You know, there's a lot of stuff. You can put infrastructure beside where there are motorways. You can give people alternatives. Imagine if you had to do that commute, but you were able to do it on a train effortlessly without having huge expense, because train tickets are still very, very expensive. But imagine if you were just able to sit on a Lewis instead of sitting in a car, having to change gear and pay attention and everything else. You could actually maybe get some work done, or you could have some quality time. We're definitely being sold short in terms of infrastructure, and it's not going to be fixed anytime soon. But what we could look at is incentivizing people who don't need to have large vehicles into electric vehicles, or say, look, if you know, there's give up the space in front of your dwelling, whatever else, put in charging bays, do whatever. There's other ways that people can get around the place.
Okay, what about an idea for having additional, what you might call, single track vehicle spaces?
Yeah.
So that, you know, you say about putting a train line down the N7. Okay, too late. Hasn't happened. Probably wouldn't happen. But that the outside lanes, that significantly sized outside lanes, should be there for motorbikes, scooters, mopeds, bicycles, anything that's on two rather than four.
Yeah, because it's a single track. It's much narrower. You can put two motors. You can actually, in the footprint of a car, you know, at relatively slow speed, you could have three motorcycles quite easily. And mopeds require less licensing. They're also less of a sort of a speed risk for a lot of people. So you're less likely to have major collisions with the moped because their speed is restricted. And also they aren't allowed on the under 50cc ones aren't allowed on motorways. But motorcycles, unfortunately, it takes a lot to get your license and then to get your insurance, get your bike. It is a commitment. But when you do experience commuting on a motorcycle, it is something where you can set your watch to it. You're never going to be stuck in queues of traffic because you can also filter. You can always filter between traffic. You're never going to be stuck at traffic lights more than once. And this type of vehicle is perfect for town use. But that's why cyclists love getting around Dublin City when they're in the groove and they're not being harassed by vehicles and their space. Cyclists have a hilarious time getting around the place. They feel invigorated. They're being really, really efficient. Their times between A and B are much quicker than on four wheels. And that's the same for motorcyclists and mopeds. The only difference being is it takes a lot longer to get the gear on, all the safety gear, and to get the gear off. But that would be a solution as well for people spending a huge amount of time in traffic, is to hop onto two wheels instead of four.
Emmett in Cork says, we were a two-car family, but I was mostly on my own and mine. Sold the car and bought a vintage Vespa, 26 per year tax.
Nice. And again, that makes sense. So it's one of those things where think about what you use the car for. No more than if you're purchasing a car, what do you need it for? It's like people automatically who say, oh no, diesel is dead. Diesel isn't dead. The current crop of diesels are fantastic. And if you do high mileage, they'll still make sense. So still go out and buy your diesels. They're very green, green machines. So there's always an option for your type of commuting. So ask yourself the serious questions and say, would I be better off just renting at the weekends? I could get something nice if I needed it. If we're going away for the weekend, we'll hire a car, or we'll take the train and we'll hire a car at the destination we get to. And you can look at ways of just getting yourself around, as opposed to just the default thing, which is throwing tons of money into four wheels.
See, I'm not sure that people really want to spend the amount of time in cars that they do. Here's one. I wish I had the option of public transport to work. I didn't have a car until I was 26. I had to move out to an area where I could afford to buy a house. But now I commute in car 2 hours every day.
Yep, and that's the story for so many people. It was the same when I was starting off. I was reared in Blackrock, and then I moved to Kilpeter, and then moved on to Wicklow Town. And it was purely because there was much better value in housing, and the housing prices were rising and rising. We said, well, look, we'll spend a few bob more on our cars, but little did we know that we'd just be like everybody else. And getting stuck in traffic jams and spending an inordinate amount of time stuck in traffic when we shouldn't be there, because that's a terrible waste of family
time.
This
one, Eamon says, the government doesn't know the meaning of the word incentive. Just look at BIK. The only incentive is to drive more.
Well, with BIK, there's an incentive to drive electric. If you're buying a vehicle under 50 grand, there's no BIK at all, which basically means if you swap out of your petrol or diesel car into an electric car, which is under 50 grand as your company car, you're basically giving yourself a 6.5 grand pay rise, because you won't pay any benefit in kind. And yes, but everything still has to move around. Lorries, trucks deliver goods everywhere else. People need to move around the place. Business people need to get from A to B. They need to be in meetings. all of that is under review because everybody, we're near a breaking point with the amount of time we're spending in,
here's a good
and losing
word from
in traffic.
Listener, when I suggest this idea of giving up your car and just renting, when saying, what about your insurance and the cost of it if you go back to buy a car later?
Oh, you'd be screwed
over. The break
in
insurance starts anew with no claims bonus.
That can be an absolute nightmare. Some people will be reasonable. The best advice when you're dealing with insurance is to go and look a broker face to face. You can ring around all you want, but if there is a broker, an actual brokerage, go and see the people and see if they can take into account. You know, your period spent as a name driver on your, that can be honoured, but you will lose that. But the one thing with renting is that everything is included in that rental fee, your insurance and so on. So you don't have to worry about depreciation of that vehicle. You're insured and all the rest. And then when you hand the keys back, you walk away, transaction done. And then you can say, well, actually, I didn't really like that car that much. Or I like that car. I'm going to hire it again sometime.
We leave it there. Michael Sheridan, thank you very much for joining us on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.